right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I want to read 3, 4, and 5. And this will definitely be a two-part message. I cannot do all of this message this morning. There's just too much. But I want to preach on this subject, unguarded doors. Unguarded doors. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now please do not miss the knot. Do not miss the knot here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We cannot fight a spiritual battle with a carnal weapon. Amen? Now don't ever forget that. Carnality in a spiritual battle will never work. And so, but they are mighty, and they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that is a stronghold is a fortress that a fort, a place that we have allowed to get built up in our lives without tearing down. Okay? Now notice what he said in verse number 5, casting down imaginations. Now, I don't know in my lifetime, especially when I was a boy, I lived on my imagination. I've been Davy Crockett. I've been Daniel Boone. Some of you won't know this. I've been John Unitas. I have been, Tarzan. I mean, you just cannot imagine when I grew up who I was. Sometimes I didn't know who I was. But I had an imagination, and it was in gear every day, 24 hours a day. But notice, he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing. And notice the kind of imagination he's talking about here. This is the imagination that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You got it? And bringing into captivity. That's just tying up the loose ends. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we are to think His thoughts. We are not to think our thoughts. We are to think His thoughts. Now, I thank God for the provision that He has made for you, that He has made for me when we sin. For all have sinned and come short, we have missed the mark of the glory of God. But God has provided through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given Himself for us. He took our sin in His own body, and He has cleansed us from that. We better be glad today that God doesn't see us as sinners. When He looks at me and when He looks at you, thank God, He sees that we have been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we need to learn something, and how much better it is if we learn what our Lord was talking about. If you'll turn there to in Matthew chapter number 6, sometimes we refer to this as the Lord's Prayer, but I would rather refer to it as the model prayer. In Matthew chapter number 6, when He prayed to deliver us from evil. Now, let's begin in verse number 9, and then we'll get to verse number 6 in a moment. But notice He says, after this manner, Jesus praying Himself, teaching them to pray and how to pray, He said, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He says in verse 10, thy kingdom come. Notice, He says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He said, now, your will is being done, and we understand that, in heaven. But not only we would love to have your will be done here on this earth. Then He says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment on this prayer here, and lead us not into temptation, because Jesus has never done evil. And He's saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now that has to be my prayer. Cannot be His prayer, because He's never even thought of doing evil. Right? And so, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So, what I want to say here about verse number 6 is, have you ever done evil? Have you ever done wrong? Have you ever been in temptation and you have yielded to it and you have asked God to forgive you and He did? Raise your hand. Okay? That's all of us. But let me ask you this. What He's doing in this prayer, I don't think is what I just asked. I think He's praying in this prayer that if He can deliver us from doing the evil, which He can, you acknowledged. I believe He's saying in this prayer that He can deliver us from ever getting into the evil to be delivered from. Are you understanding what I'm saying? My prayer every day should be, Lord, don't let me go into this temptation. Don't let me get into it that I got to be delivered from it. Amen? And so God can help our walk as we walk daily in this world, not to get involved in these things that we should not be involved in. Now, did it ever occur to you, and you can turn to these verses, go ahead and be turning to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, and then 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1. Okay? And so there's two verses, verse 9 in chapter 1 and verse 1 in chapter number 2. And I want to ask you a question. Did it ever occur to you that the same writer that wrote 1 John 1, 9 also wrote 1 John 2, 1? So let's read the verses, and I'm staying on the thought that I just gave you in verse number 6 of Matthew 6. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you have ever thought that maybe you have worn that verse out? Huh? Have you ever thought, Lord, I've quoted this to you, and I know I don't have to, but I've quoted to you time and time again, and I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me for these things that I have gotten myself into. But here's what I want to show you. The same writer wrote this in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye, what's that say? That ye sin not. Don't you think God's big enough to keep us out of it before we have to get out of it? Huh? Hey. That ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the right. That's our last resort. Our first resort that John meant for us here is that we sin not. Now we realize, and he's not teaching us that we're going to be perfect, but we ought to be sinless. I'm talking about sinless. I'm talking about sinning less than we do. Now, all that I'm saying is this. It's one thing, and it's a good thing, to build a hospital at the bottom of the cliff so and in order that if people fall off the cliff, the hospital would be there to take them in and treat them. But I think what we want to do today and what I'm trying to do today, I'd rather build a guardrail at the top of the cliff before we fall off the cliff and need the hospital at the bottom of the cliff. Amen? And so it's like this. The man was asked one time what kind of driver he was. And they tested him on the side of the mountain with the guardrails and with the mountain. And so he drove as close to the mountain as he could without getting close to the guardrail. And then the other guy, he drove as close to the guardrail as he could drive and thought that he would win because he did so good getting so close to the guardrail, but the man that won the contest is the one that stayed on the inside as close to the mountain. Amen? Now, I want to ask you this question. Do you know that your mind. Now, I think everybody here must have a mind. I think that's something that we all have in common. Amen? That your mind is a trophy. Your mind is a valued trophy. And there is a battle, not just a battle, but it is a fierce battle that is constantly being waged a war over your mind. Satan wants your mind. God wants your mind. So we've got two that are battling over control of our mind. So Paul likened the human mind in these verses that I read to you this morning to a stronghold. That is the focal point of this war. But now, wait a minute. Jesus has said this, and Brother Mike, I think you referred to this already this morning. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I've already referred to it. That we want him, we want to think his thoughts. We want to speak and preach his words. And so God wants your mind. God wants my mind. And the reason that he wants your mind and the reason that he wants my mind, because he wants me. He wants you. And whatever and whoever has your mind has you. You agree with that? Yeah, and you belong to God, and God wants you. God doesn't want some of you. God wants all of you. He wants everything that we think about. Notice, it's quite obvious that if he doesn't control your thoughts, he does not control you. So I could say to you, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Does God control your thought process? I'm not talking about do you think of him sometimes. I'm talking about does he control your thought process. So notice, if you'll turn to Matthew 22, in Matthew 22, 37, let me turn there. I've got to do it too. Yes, Matthew 22 and 37. The command to every believer is this: love the Lord thy God. Look at 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. What does, Brother Danny, what does that leave out as far as you and I go? Absolutely nothing, Brother Dave. So I am to love the Lord my God. I'm to put him first. in everything I say, in everything I do, in everything that I think. Notice another command in 1 John 15, 16, and 17, if you want to look there. But he says, love not the world. Now, you cannot love God with all your mind and soul and body and everything and love the world. You have to stop loving the world in order to start loving God. So the reason that this is so important is because we become, Brother Rod, what we think. We absolutely become what we think. Look at Proverbs 23:7. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Huh? We're going to become what we think. That's the reason it's important that we think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of good report. And he goes on with that list and he says, think on these things. Not one of you have ever done wrong. Since you have been saved, I'll put it that way, without thinking about it first. You don't do anything. You don't cook a hamburger until you think about it. You don't open the refrigerator until you think about it. You do not make a move with your right foot without thinking about it. You don't scratch your head without thinking about it. In fact, if you are brain dead, you are dead. Huh? Everything we do is in the has to be processed and go through this mind before it gets you to move. I cannot speak without thinking about it first. So first of all, there's three things. That's all just introducing. There's three things. Number one, I want to talk to you about this, Satan's desire. Now let me ask you this. Does he want you to think right? Or think on the things of God? Or does he want you to think wrong? Well, we know the answer to that. So Satan's desire is to capture. His desire is to control. His desire is to corrupt your thought life or the thought life of a child of God, as well as the person that may be here that is unsaved. If you're here this morning and you are unsaved, he would like for you to think that you were saved. He could. He's done that before. Let me ask you this. I just want a testimony from you. How many of you have thought you were saved before you were saved? Lift your hand. Yeah. Who do you think convinced you of that? Who do you think was mad when you learned different? When you learned that you were not saved and you needed to be saved? Right. And so if he can get you thinking wrong and thinking the wrong thought, it is likely he can push you into doing the wrong thing. And so whatever you do, right or wrong, it comes through the thought process. The devil is aware of this, that God destroyed the world in Noah's day. I've already mentioned something about this, and it came about by evil imaginations. Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis. Genesis and the 6th chapter. And we'll look at 2 verses there, verse 5 and three verses, 5, 6, and 7. Okay? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. See that? And that, circle that word, every. What does that word mean? We could say all, couldn't we? Every, all, wouldn't that be close to the same? It would be without exception, wouldn't it? And that every imagination of the thoughts, see the word thoughts, of his heart, man's heart, was only, say it, evil, and how long? Continually. Now this is hard for us to imagine. But I think I'm saying it right. If I'm not, tell me when I get through preaching this morning and you can correct me if you'd like to. But I don't believe that these people had a good, righteous thought from the time they woke up in the morning till the time they went to bed. Sounds like to me they didn't have one. Now I want to ask you a question. Sometime I just have some wonderful thoughts. Do you? Yes, you do. You and I mean, every once in a while, we just have that wonderful thought go through our mind, and you just, man, I used to ask my daddy sometimes. You've seen him do it, and I guess mine asked me sometimes. I'd just be sitting, or he'd be sitting, and I'd say, "Daddy, what are you smiling at?" I mean, sitting over by himself, maybe eating his breakfast, just sitting over, and I'd say, and he'd just go smiling. And he said, "Well, it's just something I thought about." You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, for no reason at all, they just start smiling. It's just something I thought about. And so you got to have that thought. You got to have that mind. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I had made them." And of course, we're not going to get into that. I'm just trying to say that God destroyed this world because of the imaginations and the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. Now, what ought to grieve you and what ought to grieve me is when we have a thought that passes through our mind that God would not have passed through our mind, it ought to grieve us in our heart. And it ought to repent us that we have done that. So now that is, would you agree with me? If you do, shake your little pointed heads up and down like this. Would you agree with me that Satan's desire is to have your thought process? Would you agree with that? Would you agree with me that God's desire is to have and control your thought process? Would you agree with that? All right. Now, notice with me secondly. Notice with me Satan's devices. Do you believe he has devices? Do you believe that he has people that he uses? Do you believe that as a people that he would if he could and if he can, it ain't that he could, he can, he would use you. He will use me. He'd just as soon to use a saved person as he would a lost person. Right? And so notice his devices. We don't need to guess about his strategy. We don't need to guess about his devices. Paul has told us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Would you look there? Notice, and he said this about his devices. Paul said this to you and I, that we are not ignorant of them. They are written down for us in the Word of God that we might know what those devices are. We're not in the dark. And so Paul has pulled the veil of darkness off of the enemy and has exposed his methods. You get that? It's the same way, I probably said it here before, but when I played football in high school, we had the film, the last week film of the team that we were going to play on Monday. And we watched that film so we would know what they were like, who we were going to play. But thank God, we're not going into this in darkness. Thank God we're saved and He's done give us the light. Amen. We have the light of the Word of God. And so we know these methods. And so when they come to us, we are not to be ignorant of them. These methods come by two major headings. Put them down. Two major headings. This is important for you. Here they are. First of all, Satan blinds. B-L-I-N-D-S. He blinds the mind of the unsaved. He blinds the mind of the unsaved person because he wants him to stay unsaved. And he does it, the Bible says, as the god of this age or the god of this world. Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. He blinds the minds. He blinds the eyes. He does not want the unsaved to read or memorize or come to church or get anything from God. A spiritually blinded mind is one that cannot see, that cannot perceive spiritual truth. Someone in this condition, first of all, needs to have their eyes opened. Notice with me, simple, but look at it. John chapter 3, verse number 3. And let's notice, I'm forgetting my verse. It's 1st or 2nd Corinthians, I think it's 4:10 or 10, the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. They don't know. They have not welcomed the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit into them. But John chapter 3 and verse number 3. Except a man be, say it with me, born again. What's the next word? He cannot do what? What's the next word? He cannot see. Brother Dave, before I was saved, I couldn't see. My mama would try to teach me things, but I couldn't see. Two things I didn't want to see. The next thing, I didn't want to change. I didn't want to be like Christ. I wanted to be like Satan. But notice what he can't see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So a person that is not born again into the family of God cannot see. They are spiritually blinded. Cannot see. Any of you ever met, I know the answer, any of you ever seen, been around a blind man, a woman, a blind person, any of you? Yeah. Did you scold them? What are you doing blind? You ought not be blind. You don't scold them because they're blind. They probably didn't wish to be blind. But don't scold them because they are. Unsaved people cannot see. So what should you do? Pray for them. That God, and He's the only one, you can't do it, but God can open their eyes so that they can see. You can't, but God can. Who was it that opened your eyes? Who was it that opened my eyes? Secondly, notice Satan corrupts the minds. He blinds the mind of the unsaved. Number two, he corrupts the mind of the saved. Now, some think this, that salvation means automatic immunity from satanic attack. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. Look at that verse, please. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. What's that word beguiled? Tricked? Fooled? Deceived? Beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Because Christians can have, I'm talking about people that are saved, can have a corrupted mind. They're Christians. They're saints across the world that are filled with anxieties. They're saints across the world that are filled with fear. Somebody was talking about worry this morning. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever known anybody to worry themselves well? Have you ever known anybody to worry themselves sick? Amen. Inner doubts have hid the star of hope. Impurities, unclean pictures are hung on the walls of the minds. Cares and worries wear away the health like sand on rocks, like sand in machinery. You may ask this question. How does the devil get, how does he gain entrance into a Christian's thought life? Well, if you'll come back tonight, I'll tell you. Okay? Come back tonight and I'll tell you how he gets in the door. My life and your life. Very simple. Just like this was, this is about as simple as I know how to make it. With our heads bowed,